listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Went to Carvel to get a milkshake. This honey ripped me off for all my loot cakes. The car, oh yeah, there's money in my jacket. Somebody broke into my ride, a cold macked it. Your tip, I tell you, man, the devil's trying it. But I'm gonna stay strong cause I ain't buying it. Tonight I'm taking Sherry out, I don't have Jack to wear. You know I gotta still dipped in the, I gotta look dipped in the fresh gear. Cool, I found something, now I ironed it. Then I caught up in the phone, shit, I'm frying it. Will somebody tell me what I did to deserve this? Think I'll pull out my suit for Sunday service. My little brother wants Barney, cool, I'm getting it. Took him down to KB, they ain't selling it. Here we go with the crying, yo, we throwing fits. My blood pressure's rising up, I can't take the shit. Finally got what he wanted, now he good to go. Again, the ride was smashed. Where's my radio? One time the car was in the shop, I had the ball, see? They had no mercy on the car, they almost killed me. Where the hell can Nikki be? I'm gonna smack her up. I got these tickets to the Knicks and she gonna stir me up. I need to hit the honey off. Jerobe passed the phone. Pull out my book of hoes. Oh, yo, Sheila's home. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we are live on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Almost at the end of the week. Busy week. Last night I did record a spoiler movie review as promised for Superfly, and I got my man Tone from the Firestarter podcast. So make sure y'all check out their podcast. Make sure if you're premium, you check out that episode. We had fun.
Y'all sound like y'all did.
Yeah, well, you know, Tone's a very funny dude anyway, and then
yes, he is.
We just vibing on that nigga shit. You know, we like the same kind of things about the movie, thought the same kind of stuff was funny, so that's always a good time, you know. But yeah, make sure y'all check all that stuff out. We appreciate y'all. Pregame and Balls Deep, of course, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. so we should see some of you guys there. It's gonna be a long day tomorrow. We may or may not do the show Wednesday night. We'll see. I'm planning on doing it, but just letting y'all know I'm tired. but yeah, you can find us all these places, theblackoutist.com, iTunes, Stitcher. Leave us 5-star reviews. Everybody leaves a 5-star review, we appreciate that. Make them nice and we'll read them on the air. That's that simple. What else? Oh, you can leave us voicemail, 704-557-0186. Make sure it's 2 minutes or less and we'll check it out. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by nobody. Let's just get into the show. All kinds of stuff is happening. Okay. I don't even know where to start. Just kind of feel random today. I know I'll do some random thoughts. That's what I'll do.
Okay.
There's just a few of them. Okay. Bear with me, guys. Still waiting on Rachel Dolezal to come back and lead us to the promised land. Anybody seen Rachel Dolezal? It has been a time for black people for the last however long she has been out of commission, and I'm waiting on her to put on her super weave and get out here and get to leading the people. I mean, clearly we need black leaders. Okay. That could have been her on full stage getting the BET award last night, but she gave up too quick. So come finish your biopic, boo. Okay. I was wearing my Black Twitter CSI shirt. I don't know how many of y'all have bought Black Twitter CSI shirts as black people in America that listen to the show. I bought one. Okay. And if you know the logo for Black Twitter CSI, it kind of looks like a sheriff's badge.
It does.
And it comes in gold. And if you have like a black shirt and with the gold on there. So I was playing ball at the YMCA and I'm leaving and white people were being so fucking friendly, y'all. Like they were stopping and waving at me.
Oh shit.
I had my headphones in, like this old lady like got in front of me and was like, "Hey, bye, you have a good day." I'm like, "What the fuck is going on?" Now when I came in, I just had a regular shirt on, but you know, afterwards I leave, you know, in a dry shirt or whatever, and that was the one I had. And like multiple people, you know, I went, got something to eat. People like, "Oh, hey," you know, I went to the store. I'm like, damn, people just like stopping and making sure they get my eye contact. I had my headphones in just to nod. And I realized, I think they thought my shirt had something to do with the police.
Mm-hmm.
Now I didn't notice that black people were being less friendly or anything. So maybe they, I don't know if they could read, I don't know. But I don't think any of these white people knew it was Black Twitter CSI. on that shirt. I think they thought it was like sheriff's department or
something. Yeah, I'm surprised. Didn't nobody tell you thank you for your service? Like somebody said in the chat, thank you for your service.
I mean, I don't look like a police officer in any way, shape, or form, so I don't know. It's like they must have just thought I was a nigga that bought the shirt or something. I mean, I could have got it from Salvation Army out for all they know. But I mean, I don't think they thought I don't know what they thought, honestly. What I just know they was stopping to be like, hey guy, hey sir,
hey you,
right? I've been watching a lot of Food Network over the past few days.
Yes, you have touched my soul.
And this is what HDTVs are made for.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at delicious food.
I love it. Roger, you watching that shit again? He just leave the room. He look disgusted.
Guys, now let's be honest. Y'all know me. Y'all have listened to this show for 8 years or something, y'all.
At least that's when have I felt.
When have I ever walked up in the room and said, you watching this shit again, and stormed out on Karen? That doesn't even make sense. Don't put them insecurities on me. Have me sounding like Ike turned up in here. I have never in my life had a problem with. We have three TVs in here. They all got HD. I will walk in another room.
I felt judged.
That's on you. That I never said a word, not a single word. This is how them lies start. But I just turned it on randomly Saturday. They had a lot of marathons on. One was called like either Fish to Dish or Dish to Fish, one of the two.
Don't be having some crazy names, don't they?
It was just a white dude in his house alone with the camera making fish over and over, and then like he was making like fucking three dishes every 30 minutes. It wasn't even like he was making like one dish the whole time. He'd be like, we're gonna do this with the salmon, then we're gonna take this, we're gonna put it in that with these spices.
That's how they start. Like I like Contessa's. She has like
the Barefoot Contessa.
Yes,
I've heard of her. Yeah,
she's one of my favorite.
Yeah, I just watched that dude, and then I watched the Driver Dining something.
Yes,
Driving. So I don't know what the fuck that shit was called.
He goes across, that's that Guy Fieri, I think. And he actually goes all across the country, and like the places he hit, I'll be like, oh my god, how did you find these hole in the wild place? Some of them are real nice, some of them like, how did you find this place?
Yeah, so I watched him, and he was actually good. I even watched that with mute on. But they have a lot of stuff where he just goes to people's like these establishments, and they just show him how they make their signature dishes in the back.
Oh, that shit been looking so good.
Yeah, and they were kind of like some hole in the wall places, you know what I mean, to a certain extent. But you know, the kind of places when you live somewhere, everybody there knows about them. But if you don't live there, you might not know about it. So he was doing that, and that was cool.
Yeah, they didn't wonder the chicken coop.
Yeah, I can believe it, man. Like, that's a place we know about locally, but if you're visiting town, you might not know about it. I know a lot of people recommended this stuff to me, but I'm not a fan of these. I don't like the cooking competition shows.
Oh, like the Chopped and stuff like that?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that at all. Cooking as competition seems kind of whack to me. I get that you put something as a competition and people will be excited, and there's game show elements, and I'm not knocking other people's, Lord knows I don't, it's just my opinion, I'm not trying to start no shit, but I don't like those shows and I wouldn't watch them myself. But I do like the ones where they're just like it's kind of therapeutic to watch somebody just kind of making something in their kitchen by themselves, or you know, making a dish for somebody to eat or some shit like that. That's kind of cool. So.
And I've always wondered, like, some of those shows, like, how they cut it. Because I'd be like, well, when you're in your house, it ain't that smooth. Like, they have, like, smooth transition. So, you know somebody's cutting and chopping. Because one day, one scene, you see them, you know, like, chopping the onion. Next scene, you see them throwing it in the pan. Like, it's like, when I'm at the house, it's, like, a lot of steps between that. And so, it's really actually neat. Sometimes, I think they use tricks because you can actually see certain things happening. When I'm like, when I'm at the house, it don't look like that. It don't look that pretty.
Well, you know, my thing is I like to watch the different cooking techniques more so for me to incorporate into what I already do. I don't really like to watch to follow their steps as far as like I want to make this specific dish. I watch it like, oh, when I make, you know, I have some salmon in there. When I make that shit, I'ma throw some chives on top of it. I would have never thought of that. You know, oh, he used mustard to make the herbs stick to the salmon when he baked it so that they didn't fall off or whatever. You know, shit like that that I might not have thought about. You know, maybe little techniques like, oh, you can keep, you know, when you're searing your fish, you can put it, flip it this way, and then it, you can keep everything kind of intact as opposed to flipping it that way. Little, that's the kind of stuff I'm looking for, because I like to more of the techniques and like, oh, that's how you do that, you know what I'm saying, kind of feeling.
Yeah, and for me I didn't learn how to actually cook until I was in college. So for me, I learned watching those channels. I learned what a roux is. My family been doing, you know, people been doing roux for years, but I didn't know the technical word was a roux. And so it was nice to actually find what those technique was. And I think the funniest thing for me was that they kept saying use a Dutch oven, and I was like, I don't have a Dutch oven. What the fuck is a Dutch oven? I thought it was a special type of oven. So I thought certain recipes I find online I couldn't make. Come to find out, one of the cooks was like, yeah, a Dutch oven. And I was like, I got that pot at the house. And I was like, what the fuck? How did I not know? Because the pot is called a Dutch oven. So I was like, it's a certain, because you know, you have a toaster oven. And if it's an oven, I'm thinking oven, not a type of pot.
Yeah, I mean, with YouTube and stuff, a lot of times if I get stuck on a step in a recipe, I just do that. Like, that's how I found out how to make a roux, was YouTube. I just go on there and they're like, this is how you make it. I still feel like I'm not good at it, because I always feel like I'm going to make it too dark and burn it and ruin it. And then I always make it not dark enough every fucking time. It's ridiculous. Like, I get paranoid and I'm like, oh, I'm fucking this roux up. It's dry as shit. It's not, it's terrible.
Because you don't really know how to work it. Yeah, it's
certain. Yeah, I mean, I just know from YouTube what they told me, you know. And then even when I watch them do it right, I still in my mind I'm like, nope, I'm fucking this up, this is enough. And then people, then I take a picture of my gumbo or some shit, people be like, oh, you fucked up the roux, didn't you? I'm like, it's delicious, but yes, I fucked it up.
it's a technique to doing actually the traditional definition of the roux, where you kind of got your flour and your butter and all that, old water, whatever you do to at the bottom. And yes, you can burn it. And for a lot of people, they use like a whisk to actually reduce like the burning and stuff like that. And it's little techniques, I guess, I've kind of learned over time. Cause a lot of times a roux is similar to a gravy. I mean, the foundation, it's not a gravy, it's similar to a gravy, but it's the foundation of a gravy to me.
Yeah, so anyway, I was watching all this shit and I had a couple thoughts about cooking. Number one, I cannot believe I'm the first person to think of this, or maybe someone thought of this and they just didn't, they just haven't, it just wasn't appealing to the eye. Why don't they have a mouth camera? I mean, they have all these cameras on the cooking show, but the true experience that I want to get at home is when they eat that shit, how delicious is it? You know, I want to see how falling off the bone that roast is, and I can only truly tell if I can see, you know, the first bite. Like, you don't have to show me him chewing and swallowing. I don't need to see all that, you know, gross shit. But just like a camera from like right behind, like where the molars are almost, to just the first bite, just the, and I can go, that looked delicious. You know, I don't know why that hadn't existed yet. So get on that, cooking channels.
I don't know if I want that.
Why not? I didn't say you have to show the gross chewing stuff. Just the first bite. They could actually set up a fake mouth that's not even a human mouth, like just teeth. And then they show like the teeth chomp down on whatever it is, so I can be like, okay, that looks soft and flaky and juices popped out.
I see, almost like a close up. Cause depending on the show, some of them actually do. Like a close-up of them actually putting it in their mouth.
Yeah, but it's not. No, that's from the wrong one. That's from the outside looking in. I don't want to do that. I want to be from the. I want to be from the inside looking out. Like, I want to experience it like I bit it. I don't know why that we haven't had. We have all kinds of like body cameras and shit. Why don't we have the mouth cam at this point? you know, if anything, you think porn would have invented this by already, but I mean, maybe Food Network can do it.
What special kind of, you would have, it couldn't be a person because you would need something where they wouldn't choke or swallow it.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not a person, I mean, you could put like as small as cameras get now. I'm sure there's a way. There's a way. That's all I'm saying. And then the last thing is, when I was watching all this, I was thinking, they should do a sequel to Ratatouille. Except the rat is controlling a black dude and he's cooking in a trap house.
That would be lit.
Mm-hmm. Ratatouille 2. Some people was calling it Gatatouille. Trapatouille. People were contributing ideas online. But I would love to watch, you know, just for like the shootout. He could have a scene where he controlling while he rapping. He could be a trap rapper too. And also, you know, he could be whipping up, you know, all of the whipping up the lean on the stove. Mm-hmm. Listening to Migos and shit, and the rat is controlling them. I mean,
he's teaching them how to do it right.
Right. I mean, why not? Is that too black for Pixar? I don't see why not. Mm-mm. I'm just saying. Yep, Migos could do the soundtrack. Anyway, these are my thoughts. So let's get into the show. All kinds of stuff is happening. Most of it bad. The Supreme Court rules that faith-based pregnancy centers, they support them now, and they ruled to block the enforcement of a California law that requires faith-based crisis pregnancy centers to notify patients that the state offers subsidized medical care, including abortions, in a 5-4 decision. Get used to that number.
Fucking five to four kills me
on the ballot. But y'all care about women.
They fucking protested and protested and protested when it was Obama's pick till the person died.
Mm-hmm. Well, the second person, Merrick Garland, didn't die. They just stalled it.
Right.
But yeah, the justice said the disclosure rule likely amounts to a compelled speech that violates the First Amendment. The court did not strike down the California law, but sent the case back to lower courts with instructions that enforcement of key provisions be immediately blocked while the legal challenge continues. So pregnancy centers that strongly oppose abortion will no longer have to notify women that the procedure is an option for them. So I don't know how that's going to work in practice, but this is the Supreme Court we have.
Right.
They also voted today to uphold the Trump's Muslim travel ban, something that he promoted heavily as being anti-Muslim. Of course, he didn't write that on a sheet of paper when he submitted the law for the third time. And the Supreme Court basically upheld it, and even he was surprised. On Twitter, he put, "Supreme Court upholds Trump travel ban." Wow. I think this is this is not a surprise as far as this is everything that people said was on the ballot in 2016. That's all I can say. It's everything Obama said, it's everything Hillary said, it's everything Michelle Obama told y'all, it's everything that was on the ballot. This is the country we have. I don't expect the people who were so vocal about and adamant about I'll never vote for this and no lesser of two evils, I don't expect them to say a fucking thing, because they haven't been. I expect the Republicans and the people who voted for Trump to be excited and rejoice. 2016 was all hands on deck, and this is the end result of people wanting to do part-time work and claim full-time glory.
Come on.
This is just the beginning.
Right.
Like, this is just the beginning. All the stuff that's happening right now that's in the news, it'll eventually be at that Supreme Court doorstep too. I mean, people will challenge it legally. They'll be like, you can't separate kids from their moms and shit. It'll work its way up there. And know that the rulings will not be in favor. You know that the rulings will be like, hey, do what you do. And they basically said, the obviously the dissenting opinion, I think Judge Sotomayor wrote it, which was essentially like, this is a racist and anti-Islamic band. He clearly promoted it as a Muslim band. Any reasonable person viewing his comments and this law know what it is. And Justice Roberts basically wrote a I think he was the one who wrote the opinion that was like, yeah, he got the power to do it, so that's the end of it. The only thing we're ruling on is if he has the power to enforce it, and the answer is yes. It doesn't matter if it's violates the country's principles, and he the president, he gets to be the king. That's it. So yeah, a lot of people have been very hurt by this. A lot, you know, people been talking all day about it and stuff. It's just been draining. It's just been another thing that a lot of us can't really control or do anything about in our personal lives that we had a big chance to do something about 2 years ago, and this chicken's coming home to roost.
Yes, and that's why, like I said, I'm to the point to where I've drawn my line on certain things. And say what you want to. If you didn't vote, don't complain. I don't want to hear a motherfucking thing you got to say. I hate to be that person, but I don't want to hear nothing you got to say. If you said both sides were the same, I don't want to hear nothing you got to say. I just don't. You know, I'm to the point to where there's no room for discussions and debates anymore. There's no room for I'm still undecided and all this other bullshit that people are putting out there. People have made their decisions, and the everything that's happening now is based off of the decisions that people made in 2016.
Yeah, man. I feel bad because I tried to understand and empathize with people in 2016 as much as I could. And I kind of held my tongue on a lot of shit that I thought was ultimately stupid strategically. And I just held it to like, look, I can only control my vote. I can only control what I think, and it's still true to this day. I don't want to blame other black people for the problems of a country that essentially put us in a horrible situation in the first place. But all that being aside, like, there's facts and there's feelings, and they don't always line up. Nope. I get how people feel, and I'm not trying to admonish them for having feelings, because a lot of times I feel the same way. But to make an illogical conclusion from the fucking feelings that you have and from the facts that lay before us, I cannot pretend that that has equal weight and that your opinion is equally as valid. I cannot, because I would not do that for some fucking Republican shill. I wouldn't do that for some fucking racist white person, whether they were liberal racist or conservative racist. I wouldn't do that. So I'm gonna do the fucking, I have to have the integrity to be honest and be like, yo, some people think stupid shit when it comes to politics. And because we are in a situation where via social media and our own platforms, everybody gets to have an opinion and have a say, and motherfuckers rally around this shit, it can be destructive. I just want to believe in with my heart of hearts that that group of people is very small and that they were very loud in 2016. But ultimately, they ended up sounding like the Russian bots. Like, they said the same thing. The same things that Russians paid Facebook to say is what some niggas said for free. And the only disrespect I have for them is that they didn't even get a check. You did the fucking work of evil for nothing. So, it, you know, I get that people want to sound woke and yah, yah, yah. But you got what you asked for, and I don't see the work. You know, because keep in mind, people said this is gonna be good and we're gonna get in the streets and we're gonna do this and it's gonna cause people to fight back and we're gonna organize and we're gonna march. And I'm like, where are y'all? And they're quiet as hell. They're not talking about this shit,
right?
Or they just go, I'm sad too. But it's like, nigga, this is what you said was gonna happen and that you were ultimately ready to see come to pass, and you not out here talking about, see, this what I meant, this what I wanted. Cause now you gotta watch people suffer, and you don't want to be affiliated with that. You want all the credit for the quote unquote wins. You want all credit for everybody's, for the victories. But when it comes to these losses, this niggas is back on the bench reading their playbook. It's just disgusting. and I don't know how I'm supposed to look at you and respect you after this. I don't know how I'm supposed to see the world burn and you holding a fucking match and be like, yeah, I come on back. You know what I mean? So I just lost so much respect for people, and I can't.
I did too.
It is eroding. It didn't start this way, and I tried my best to keep a modicum of respect and understanding and empathy for everybody. But every day that I watch the country get worse, it is hard to look at other people and be like, you were complicit in this, but it's okay. It's actually not okay.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? We had a chance to fight. That all this shit is just the consequences of the L that we took, and we're gonna take another L at this rate, because people still, like most things, can't admit they were fucking wrong. It doesn't matter if they were proven wrong, they can't admit they were wrong, because pride is more important than the fucking truth. They say pride coming before going before a fall. Like, that's what the fuck is happening. This the fall. And we're gonna keep falling, because motherfuckers still prideful all the way down that fall. But back as an update, you know, I told you yesterday about the whole Civil War thing and how people was on my Twitter and shit, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I had time, so last night, you know, for some reason, even after I muted the tweet, some asshole came through and was like, still trying to like be like, how this nigga don't know that, you know, Civil War means between citizens. So I just went ahead and made a thread and broke it down, and I went and found this article, something I already knew existed, by the way, because I do read. I do know what the fuck I'm talking about. I normally just, if I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, I normally just either leave it to jokes or stay out of it. That's kind of my thing, you know. But if I know what the fuck I'm talking about, even if I'm making a joke, I still know what the fuck I'm talking about. It's not a mistake anyway. So I went and found a passage from this one article. I can't remember what if it was the Atlantic or what, but do you know that as a country, we didn't start using the term Civil War to refer to the traitorous insurrection of the southern states until 1907? Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
Right. The Civil War is not some immutable term that has always existed. It's PR spin on a fucking traitorous, on treacherous white people who seceded from the United States and denounced their citizenship. But nobody fucking reads, because they were told some stupid shit in civics 101 or United States U.S. history in fucking seventh grade, and they just never thought about it. They never thought about it. And that's the kind of shit that it is funny, because yesterday was a microcosm of the shit I'm talking about. It was a lot of people in my mentions that were dead fucking wrong, but there was enough of them sucking each other off that they felt like, yeah, we right, we showed him. You actually didn't show me shit. And you know how many people came through and apologized? Yo, one white dude called me a hotep. This white man is from Canada. One, you white. Two, you from Canada. Three, you don't even know, take that word out of your mouth. You clearly don't know how to use it. But you know how many fucking people apologize after I was like, well, this is actually the exact reason that I'm right and why y'all wrong.
Because they don't care. None.
One half-ass apology from the dude from Canada in my DMs, not in public. And it was, hey, if I was out of line there, my bad or whatever. You was calling me a hoe. Keep that same energy. And I don't see people keeping that same energy from 2016 on the, hey, Susan Sarandon, the Bernie Bus crowd, the this is fine with the fire around us dog people. Everybody's quiet as fuck. You don't see Mark Lamont Hill coming through like on some mm-mm. You see people trying to lie. I seen Sean King try to trot out a lie. I seen Mark Lamont Hill try to trot out that lie on some, I wasn't really saying that shit. Yes, you were. We're gonna do this fucking type of show so many times this year and over the next 2 years. And you just better get fucking used to it. Cause every time I'm mad, I'm gonna remember that shit. Cause we needed them. I know we can't reach the white people that voted for Trump. I know we can't. I know we can't reach the white working class people. I know we can't even really reach a lot of these white moderate motherfuckers that will just coast on privilege through the suffering of all the black and brown people, women, and LGBTQ folks. I know that. But a lot of black people sold us the fuck out to keep it real on for retweets and shit like that. And that was super whack. And it just makes me mad to know that we were literally 70,000 votes from this and you still blaming the candidate when everybody told you this. It's like eating your greens. Nobody wants to fucking do it, but everybody told us to eat our greens. Every time something like this happens, I really can go find a YouTube clip of Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and Michelle Obama telling you this is what will happen if this man is elected. Please go vote. And the motherfuckers didn't care. Motherfuckers did not care. Anyway, that was sad to see today. And I can't imagine how anyone feels hope in this country, specifically if you're at the border right now and your kid may or may not be absconded from you. Why do you think this country, the country that let this happen, is gonna fix this shit? All the people protesting, getting arrested, wasting their goddamn time. They wasting their time. Because this country will never have the fortitude to get up there and go vote and do and change some shit. They don't believe in that no more. You know, they like, they're not, because see, this is the thing. They're not anarchists. They're lazy. It's a big difference. It looks the same on the outside. Like, ooh, anarchy. No, lazy. You don't want to work. You don't want to do the little shit you have to do every day to be good at something. You know, it's like starting a podcast but being like, the sound quality is, I'm not gonna do no research for the show. Not, you know what, who cares if it's live or not? It'll be up when it gets up. I don't give a fuck how it gets to iTunes. I hope if people listen, I'm just gonna put the shit on the tape recorder. People come by my house and listen, they can listen. It's that. And then we call it anarchy, but you're not really an anarchist. You're not really a revolutionary. You're not really radical. You're just fucking lazy. It's easy to sit home and be like, I don't want no blame because I will invest no part of myself in the fucking, in the well-being of anyone, even myself sometimes. Fuck out of my face. Anyway, let's talk about other stuff. Did you know, Karen, a six-figure salary is considered low income in San Francisco?
Because it's expensive as fuck out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's expensive as hell out there. I believe that.
Shout out to Nick Jew.
Right. So imagine the people that make five figures or four figures.
Shout out to Nick Jew. The Bay Area is so expensive that earning $117,400 a year qualifies you as low income in some counties. To be considered low income in San Francisco, San Mateo, and Martin counties, a family of four must earn $117,400 a year. Very low income is considered $73,000 or below.
A lot of people aren't paying attention, but the cost of just living gets expensive and more expensive and more expensive. They did a study, I forgot what article said, and they said the minimum wage in America, you can't afford a two-bedroom apartment anywhere in this country off of a one minimum wage an hour job.
What are you supposed to do? I guess you have to leave, right? I mean, yeah, this is how gentrification works.
Right.
Who can afford to live here?
Right, because, and it happens a lot, and it's slowly happening to this city, too, in Charlotte. Where the cost of living goes up and up and up and up and up and up and up. You lose affordable housing. Nobody wants to build homeless shelters. You know, domestic centers fade away. And instead of the things that the community needs, you get shit the community don't need. And a lot of the people that come into these communities, a lot of times they're not from these areas. They don't give a fuck about these areas. They're just bringing their money and their influence, and they don't care about the people that was there before them. They erased the culture, they erased the history, and they rebrand it and rename it something new. And it's very frustrating. That's why for a lot of big cities, nobody lives in Washington DC. Nobody lives in New York City. You know, nobody lives in like certain areas. Everybody lives on the outskirts of those areas and bust into those areas. Why? Because the cost of living is so fucking high, nobody can afford to live there.
All right, I'm gonna play something for you. You tell me if you recognize the song, Karen.
What you say? Woke up in the morning, broke all my chains. Money's my language, but I'm nobody's slave. Open my eyes, see the crabs in the barrel. Cause I'm on the rise, an American pharaoh. I'm young and I'm black in America. They try to attack and embarrass us. Y'all don't want your daughters to.
You recognize that song?
I think I do. Well, I've never heard that song before. Okay. By that artist. I don't know who that artist is.
Okay.
But it sounds similar.
To?
Oh, to This Is America. It sounds similar.
Mm-hmm. To This Is America.
Yes.
All right.
But I've never heard that artist.
Okay. So that's your first time hearing the song?
Yeah, that was my first time hearing that song.
All right, cool. All right. Yeah. That has been something that's been going around on social media. People think Donald Glover stole This Is America from this song. Yeah. It's weird because I listen to it and I don't know if it's because I listen to more music or more rap and trap shit.
It sounds similar but not exact.
Yeah, I think it's the fact that he said America and the fact that he used the Afro beat, the like hum da dum. That shit, I think people just like, yep, same song. And to me, I'm like, it don't sound like the same song to me. But
no, it don't. No, like I said, hearing that and hearing This Is America, like once you start layering all the layers to it, mm-hmm. like behind it, they sound like two completely different songs. Like once you start getting into all the beats and all that stuff.
Yeah, it sounds like trap mixed with Afrobeat. But anyway. People were saying Donald Glover stole this song from it wasn't Jace Haley. And I'll play some This Is America if you guys want to hear it too. We just wanna party. Party just for you. We just wanna party. Party just for you. Like, I don't know if I'm tripping or not. I really do not hear.
Yeah. Like I said, once you start like layering all the beat, like it, once you start really like layering and getting all those beats, they sound like two completely different songs.
Now I'll wait for the beat to drop because I think that's the part people think sounds familiar. But like, even on this part, I'm like, I don't hear it, but I'm not trying to discredit the part. I mean, it doesn't seem like the dude think it's stolen, but still people were trying to say it is. And you know, agenda's gonna agenda, so.
Correct.
Some people been trying to figure a way out that Donald Glover ain't shit, so this is like, fits into their wheelhouse.
This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping now. This is America. Don't get
like I don't think I'm tripping, but it sound mad different to me. But maybe this is my Yanni Laurel moment, because you know it's like the one joint is like dum da dum 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 dum, and this is like I don't know.
Marry us, but they let us dick, so I tear it up. Got her wedded in Mariners. Half a society scared of us. My nigga, I'm young with no barriers. So if you owe me money, just police
killed my best friend, they shot him dead. I do not forgive, I do not forget. My life is a cliff and I'm by the ledge. And in less than a moment, a lot is said. But if you don't know me, do not allege.
Like, it just, I don't know, that joint sound like something Donald Glover would have sounded like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe. Like, rapping and shit. But, I don't know, Donald shit is more like, kind of like how 7-Eleven was for Beyonce, where it's not really his song. He not really rapping on it. You know, it's like almost a whole song of course, you know?
Slipping up. Don't catch you slipping up. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping up. Look how I'm living up. Police be tripping up. Yeah, this is America.
Guns in my- well, anyway, apparently this is you know, it's going viral on Twitter. People was like, oh, this nigga stole it, I knew he did, you know, all this shit.
People who didn't like him anyway,
yeah, to a lot of, you know, and plus, I mean, it's the internet, and
correct,
if whatever's funnier is gonna win,
yeah
and
yeah,
whatever's I'm spicy gonna win.
Yeah, I'm here for the jokes, I'm right. You know, I'm not anti-joke,
right? So at any rate, his music manager did respond. He denied they copied anything. He says, the internet is a place of no consequences. I hate that Toronto academic / every white blogger can say something as gospel and y'all take it. This song is 3 years old. We had a Pro Tools files to prove it, but fuck you and your moms and your future fetuses. Stay blessed. Eddie replied, you asked for a comment from the label. This is it at Pitchfork. And then Jay said he was humbled to be recognized as a inspiration for the song. He says, I feel extremely humbled to be recognized and labeled as one of the original inspirations for one of the most important pieces of music and visual art of our time. I appreciate all the love and support, but please don't let this controversy dilute the message me and that Childish Gambino are trying to convey. I love how he slid right up in there like, you know, we worked on it together, it's like it's both of ours. We are speaking about injustices we've encountered, and he's helped to provide a platform for all the voices to be heard. Let's not discredit him for that. The focus should be on affecting change in our communities and building equality. This is a bigger than me and him and bigger than music. Let's not lose focus. And they put # no one wins when the family feuds # futurist. So I guess he on some other shit with that. I mean, that's good that he can be positive like that, but if he really feel like he got a case, nigga, a lawyer will take that shit for free. If he real about thinking he the inspiration. But yeah, I mean, but you know, good on him. That's wild. And yeah, I don't know, they feel like different songs to me. By the way, I like both songs. I think his shit is banging too. So
yeah, it's a different type of production.
It reminds me of how when people say comedians steal jokes, but they normally only mean it if they don't like the comedian. It's like Amy Schumer steals jokes. And then I watched that whole, I think we may have even played it on the show, but I definitely watched the whole thing. And I was like, yeah, I don't think y'all prove she stole jokes. But other people that didn't like her was like, this is conclusive evidence. This bitch is a joke stealing motherfucker. I'm like, some of these jokes are literally just jokes anybody could have told. They're not so fucking unique to any one comedian that no other comic has a joke like this. But you know, once the agendas are set, it's pretty much over. Let's see what else we got here. I thought this was an interesting read. This actually related a lot to this. It was on Psychology Today, which once published a horrible article about something about black women being attractive. Remember that? Was it Psychology Today that did that?
I don't remember.
I just remember that episode like 6 years ago. I was so mad. Anyway.
And they said, yeah.
Yeah, fuck them forever for that. Anyway, this came across my Facebook feed. It was the 10 traits of empath that empathic people share. And I was like, you know, let me read this to see if it's true. Sometimes people say this stuff and I'm like, I don't have that. Maybe I'm not, you know, maybe they don't know what they're talking about. But this one was kind of true. At least for me. I think I was at least 9 out of 10. So number one, empaths are highly sensitive. Empaths are naturally giving, spiritually open and good listeners. If you want heart, empaths have got it. through thick and thin. These world-class nurturers will be there for you, but they can easily have their feelings hurt too. Empaths are often told that they're too sensitive and need to toughen up. I think the difference for me is I normally keep my sensitive shit to myself, but we had a podcast so people know how I think now. You know, like I had something happen today where I was just like, let me hop off of Facebook because this shit is ridiculous to me, but maybe I'm being too sensitive. You see what I'm saying? So I'm like, sometimes I back off of people simply because I don't want to deal with that energy at the time. Like, and even with like my Facebook feed, my Twitter feed and stuff, all the shit happening in the world with this, with the Supreme Court decisions.
That stuff gets to you and it just takes the, just something very little to you be like, all right, I've had enough.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and maybe I should quote unquote toughen up, but the problem is motherfuckers ain't gonna like the tough version of me anyway, cause then I'm gonna be telling them about themselves and then that just leads to more fighting and all this shit. It's just not worth it. It's just easier to walk away than to like keep engaging people. Mm-hmm. But number two, empaths absorb other people's emotions. I know this shit is true. So the thing I have to always say is it's not always bad. There's some emotions that are worse than others, obviously. Exhaustion, anger, anxiety, negativity, like those things are the worst, and I end up talking about them more often. But it also works the other way, which I want to do a better job of talking about. But when people are in a good mood, when people are happy, I absorb that too. It can still kind of be exhausting because it's not really your emotions, you're just kind of reflecting and all this shit, but still it's kind of a dope feeling to be in that euphoria as well. But I normally only end up talking about when motherfuckers stress me the fuck out. Most empaths are introverted. I mean, that's pretty true for me. Become overwhelmed in crowds, can amplify their empathy. They tend to be introverted and prefer one-on-one contact or small groups. Strumming my life when this thing is. Even if an empath is more extroverted, they may prefer to limit how much time they spend in the crowd or at a party. Empaths are highly intuitive. They experience the world through their intuition. It's important for them to develop their intuition and listen to their gut feelings about people. Thank you, 2018. This helps empaths find positive relationships and avoid energy vampires, which that's a true. Energy vampire people are attracted to empaths.
They are, because a lot of times if you have high energy or people see positive energy, some people, they just come and they just suck it. They just suck it out of you. That's why a lot of times you have to limit the amount of time you're around people, because they'll get you to a point where you don't have any energy for anybody else, not even yourself.
Yeah, and honestly, like, they want what they want beyond what you can give.
Correct.
You know, and of course, not just as an empath, but as a person that is listening and wanting to like do whatever, you want to help them feel better, you want to help them get the attention that they think they need and stuff. But I'm not capable of giving, you know, like a narcissist or a sociopath or a fucking person that needs all the attention, I'm not capable of satisfying that craving. You know, and especially when there's more than one person like that, you'll drive yourself insane.
Mm-hmm.
Which goes to number five, empaths need time alone. As super responders, empaths find being around people to be draining, so they periodically need time alone to recharge. I definitely need this. A lot of times, you know, I do it while Karen's at work or something. I'll just kind of chill around the house or something, or you know, I go to the store, throw in some headphones, shop or something, just kind of keeping that whole experience just for me, you know, read, stuff like that. Like I said, for example, empaths like to take their own cars when they go places so they can leave when they please. Nigga, that's me.
Mm-hmm. I would be like, I'll meet you there in a heartbeat.
Yeah, this dude that lives in our apartment complex was like, hey man, you play ball in the morning. I was like, sometimes. He was like, man, we should go up there next Friday. I was like, you know, I might meet you up there. He was like, man, we could probably drive together. I was like, absolutely not. Like, I think it took him off guard because I was so brutally honest in that moment. We were having a catching up conversation, like, hey, no time, no see, buddy. And he was like, you can go up there together. I said, absolutely not. Not at 5 in the morning. And he was like, all right, then I guess I'll see you up there. I was like, I guess you will, because my black ass is not depending on nobody else. Right? I said, what if I got to leave early? That was my exact words out of my mouth. And here I am reading this shit like, that is what I said. Empaths can become overwhelmed in intimate relationships. Too much togetherness can be difficult for an empath, so they may avoid intimate relationships. Deep down, they're afraid of being engulfed and losing their identity. For empaths to be at ease in a relationship, the traditional paradigm for the couple must be redefined. This was the only one I wasn't sure about, but then I was like, I don't know, because I've only been with you since we were 16. So, maybe it just doesn't, I'm not as worried about it because you haven't stepped on any boundaries that I feel would like lose my identity, whatever that means. But yeah. I saw a lot of other people that were empaths on my page being like, oh, this is real as fuck. It's one of the reasons I avoid intimate relationships.
I can understand that.
Yeah, I don't even know what it means. What do you think it means to lose your identity?
Like, everything about you is about them. Your whole life is gulfed up in them and what they want to do and their hopes and their dreams and their aspirations to the point where you begin to forget about your hopes and your dreams and your aspirations till all of a sudden the things that you used to do, you don't do them no more. You kind of lose your, like lose who you were prior to the relationship.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like, say, like those people that do the thing where it's like, I go to the bar on Sunday and I watch games with my friends, and then all of a sudden, their girlfriend's coming every Sunday and she hates the bar and she doesn't like your friends and she
wants the whole atmosphere.
Right. And then eventually she wants to leave. She don't want you to be there. And some people go along with that kind of, and yeah, that would be a huge fear of mine. I can definitely relate to that. You know,
yeah,
like there's certain things I do. Like if I go play basketball, I never am like, Karen, come to the gym with me and you know, you can work out and I can play ball and I can do, like, I'm like, no, this is a thing I do for myself. It doesn't involve you and it doesn't need to, and I'm completely fine with that.
And most of the time I'm not getting up that early.
I'm not even talking about getting up early. It could just, I mean, when I used to play at night, you still would take your car and I take mine.
But I'll be like, I'm ready to go and I take my black ass home.
So I think this just isn't an issue in our relationship, but I can see how it would be an issue if you were the opposite way, where it's like, oh, you're going to the gym, I'm going to the gym, because then I'm going to worry about when you want to leave, if you're bored, how long am I taking, if I want to leave before you want to leave, all kinds of shit.
Unless it's an event where we're going, okay, we're both going to be doing this quote-unquote activity together, then, you know, like I said, I don't mind that separate thing, because now that could be draining. Wanting to constantly be around and cling and cleave.
And we do a lot of shit together. But I've never felt that feeling of like, I don't want to do this and here you come. Number 7, empaths are targets for energy vampires. And empath sensitivity makes them particularly easy marks for energy vampires, those whose fear or rage can sap their energy and peace of mind. These vampires may do more than drain the empath's physical energy, especially dangerous ones such as narcissists who lack empathy and are only concerned with themselves, can make empaths believe they're unworthy and unlovable. Been there. Other vampires include the victim, the chronic talker, the drama queen, and more. Yeah, absolutely. That's 100% accurate.
Yeah.
I've dealt with people, all of those groups I've dealt with.
Yeah, I'm a talker. I, without any shadow of a doubt, my husband know I can talk the motherfucking house down, but I do listen. And I've dealt with co-workers and just other people period, but I've realized that I've run across more women than men that have a tendency to do this, where anytime you talk to them, every time you bring something up, they're not listening. They just want to insert themselves so they can redirect the conversation back to them. if you've done something, they've done it too, then they'll redirect the conversation back to them. You know, they, every time you talk to them, it's always about them, it's always about their kids, it's always about their husband, it's always about, you know, I was doing this, I was doing that, I was going there. You could be like, well, yeah, I did this, oh girl, I did that too, and next thing you know, it's back on them again, and you're like, well, damn, once I pick up a person like that, I don't say anything, I just let them talk themselves out, and when they run out of words, they look at me, I look at them, I be like, okay. And then they leave, because I don't want to have a one-person conversation. You could have talked to the wild baby.
Matter of fact, let's do the five types of emotional vampires real quick. Because I, like I said, I've dealt with all these, and I bet other people have too. And you just didn't have a word for it. And the thing is, I'm learning and have gotten better at not engaging these people. Like, when they start exhibiting these traits, I'm like, you know what? I'm out. Like, you do this by yourself. Cause, and if you don't like me for this, this is on you. Like, you need to address your own behavior. I'm not gonna fight with you. I'm not gonna call you out your name. I'm just gonna note the behavior and be like, I'm out. Right? So here's the five types. The narcissist, that's the me first everything. It's always about them. They have a grandiose sense of self-importance and entitlement. They hog attention and they crave admiration. They're dangerous because they lack empathy and have a limited capacity for unconditional love. And if you don't do things their way, they become punishing, withholding, or cold. I have been there. How to protect yourself. Keep your expectations realistic. There are emotionally limited people. Try not to fall in love with one or expect them to be selfless or to love without strings attached. Never make yourself worth dependent on them or confide your deepest feelings to them. To successfully communicate, the hard truth is that you must show how something will be to their benefit. Though it's better not to have to contend with the tedious ego stroking if the relationship is unavoidable, this approach works. Yeah, I just cut the motherfuckers out. Like, you can keep all that shit to yourself.
It's not worth the engagement.
Like, I'll be your friend, I'll never be your henchman.
Right. I'll be your friend, yeah. Won't hate you, won't be angry. Live your best life. But nah, I'm not dealing with that.
Number two, the victim. These vampires grate on you with their poor me attitude. The whole world is against them. It's the reason for their unhappiness. When you offer a solution to the problems, they'll say yes, but eventually you might end up screening your calls, purposely avoiding them. As a friend, you may want to help, but their tales will overwhelm you.
Yeah, I call them the violin people. Mm-hmm. I got family members like this. Every time they walk into a room, all I hear is the violins playing mm-hmm. in the background as they talk, because everything has happened to them and only them and nobody else but them. Their cat died. They got arthritis. It rained today. You know, a family member died. They caught a cold. You know, they just had surgery. Everything is just the worst thing ever. And you're like, come on now. Come on. Ain't nothing positive. Not a goddamn positive thing happened in your life. Every time I talk to you, it is another sad love song, honey. I avoid those people because that's draining.
Yeah, I think social media has introduced a lot of people like this that I wouldn't have known in regular life, but I know via social media because, you know, everyone gets to craft their image, and this is the one they put out, which is, something bad happened again to me today, and something bad happened to me later, and something bad happened when I went to the store, and something bad happened with my apartment, something bad happened with my pet, and something bad happened with my relationship, and something bad happened in my job, and you like, you just go through their thing, and you're like, damn, only bad shit happens to you, or that's the only shit you tell people about, and it does get you a certain type of attention, like it's sympathy and all this stuff, but I have also learned that you have to set limits with this shit too, because you'll spend all day being like, is everything okay? I'm wishing you the best. You're in my thoughts all the fucking time. Ain't that many thoughts in the world, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I know the difference because I, like I said, I'm a talker, so I've engaged all types of people. So for me, I guarantee you, everybody on this list, I've come across at some period of my life.
I think we all have.
And I think that the older I get, the more I recognize the traits quicker.
Right, you see the pattern.
Right, when I was younger, I didn't know. So a lot of those people took full-fledged advantage of me and my naivety and me just being ignorant and not knowing traits and not realizing that people, particularly when I was young, I used to be so naive at how people functioned and thinking that everybody was just as positive and as bubbly as me. And realizing that a lot of people, when you interact with a lot of people, it's a ulterior motive for a lot of people. Their interaction with you is never pure. Their interaction with you is not to get to know you. Their interaction with you is, what can I get out of you? How can this relationship benefit me? Can this relationship get me to the next level? You know, or I'm here because I see you going to the next level, so I want to be around. You know, and I had to learn those things over time. It took a very long time for me to grasp and understand what some of these traits were.
Yeah, well, the victim is a little different than just wanting to be around. It's, I think they absorb energy too, like, and all that, you know, sympathy and the talking to them to provide for solutions that they're never going to use, or they're always going to shoot down, because the act of the complaining is the point.
Right.
They don't want to hear you say, like, well, look, man, how about you try this? Or, you know, what if we, you know, what if I help you do this? That shit is besides the point. Like, then I'm, what will I have to complain about? Then I need to find something new to complain about the next day.
Right. And like I said, I had family members like this, and I call it as, treat me as a soundboard. I'm not your soundboard. I'm not something here for you to pour your emotions into and me just actually just take it. So I do. I screen phone calls. I don't go around. I'm real quick to be missing for 3 to 6 months. Where you been? Busy. I got a life. But to be told, I just don't want to be bothered with you because you're draining.
Number three, the controller. These people obsessively try to control you and dictate how you're supposed to be and feel. They have an opinion about everything. They'll control you by invalidating your emotions when they don't fit into their own rule book. They have to start sentences with, you know what you need, and then proceed to tell you. You end up feeling dominated, demeaned, or put down. How to protect yourself. The secret to success is to never try to control a controller. Be healthy, assertive, but don't tell them what to do. You can say, I value your advice, but really need to work through most myself. Be confident and don't play the victim. Yeah, those people are annoying as fuck. I think we all had these people.
Mm-hmm. At some period of time in our lives.
Like, you, yes, don't even have to say you have a problem, and they're just like, this is what you need to do. You know, he's like, oh, okay.
okay, expert on my life.
Right, right. You should have said, you know, that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. And I think especially now in the age of social media, where we all are giving our opinions and thoughts on everything. Like when I said I had to step back from people and love people differently, I put this shit on a t-shirt. At some point, like, that was a big move for me last year. And I mean, I've been doing it for a long time, but you gotta let people like what they like, don't like what they don't like, make the jokes they're gonna make, take the things serious they're gonna make, let people be hypocrites when they're gonna be hypocrites. You know, I made a basically a rule to myself, is like, I govern the shit I say and do, but outside of that, like, what the fuck you talk about on your page, what people talk about on their, you know, in their lives, in private, what people, even what, even, and up to the point where even when they talk about me, if I'm not around, it ain't my business. Mm-mm. If they got some ruckus and they want to bring it to my face, we can absolutely have it out and talk about it and figure something out. But if you privately want to talk about some shit, or you don't like some shit, or you know, hey man, that's on you. I don't get to control the world, and I don't want to control other people. It's too much responsibility, for one. And two, they're humans. I don't want nobody trying to control me either. So if I, you know, if you don't like the Beyonce album, you know, all I got for you is jokes. I don't have no serious, oh, like,
he's getting B emojis.
I'm unfriending you, you motherfucker. How dare you? You see people enjoying shit, and you would do. I'm
ain't
like,
that serious.
Dog, maybe you just didn't like it. And that's absolutely A-okay. I have anything bad to say about you, you know? But I think it took that. We're not talking about issues of people's humanity.
Mm-mm.
But just a lot of stuff where you would like your friends to agree with you, but they not going to.
And it's okay.
Right. But the controlling people are like, you better express this the way that I tell you to express it, or else it's about me again. Four, the constant talker. These people aren't interested in your feelings. They only concerned with themselves. They wait for an opening to get a word in edgewise, or they might physically move in so close that they're practically breathing on you. They edge backwards. You edge backwards, but they step closer.
Yeah, honey, I have got myself a strategy against people like that. Honey, you get closer, I step back. A lot of times I start cutting around corners. Like literally start cutting around corners from people. I have got myself up. I've got good escape strategies of people to talk about. I stop tinkling with my phone to be like, oh, I gotta go use the bathroom. Anything, honey, I have mastered that. You ain't gonna hold me hostage for 45 minutes.
Yeah, I've learned over time to just kind of hit those people with the, I gotta go over here. By the way, their advice is to say, hate to interrupt, but I have to talk to these other people, get an appointment, meet and go to the bathroom. I've done this quite a few times. It's a more constructive tactic than saying, keep quiet, you're driving me crazy. But yeah, I've had to do this so many times because like people like that I'm a good listener, but these kind of people actually don't care that you're listening. They just want to talk.
Correct.
And once you realize that they're not hearing shit you're saying, and it's not actually a conversation, they might as well be talking to a brick wall. I will excuse myself because my time is precious.
Come on, don't waste it.
Number five, the drama queen. Oh, it's the worst one. Like of all the ones, the controller is terrible, the victim is, it's just a bore, it sucks, the narcissist is terrible, but you know, everything gotta be about them. But nigga, the drama queen, my arch fucking nemesis. These people have a flair for small incidents, taking small incidents into off the chart dramas. My patient Sarah was exhausted when she hired a new employee who was always late. 1 week he had the flu and almost died. Next his car was towed again. Each time this employee left her office, Sarah felt tired and used. How to protect yourself. A drama queen can't draw energy from equanimity. Stay calm and take a few deep breaths. This will help you not get caught up in the histrionics. Yes, like this shit is like they always come to you with some, we gotta do this person, you won't believe what so-and-so said or did, or like we gotta ride on somebody every fucking day. And that's when you look around and be like, nigga, it's you. You always in a fight with the world. What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, where's this misery coming from? Like, you can't never just sit still and be quiet for a little bit and be and have some solace for your motherfucking self. Every day you banging on somebody, every day, nigga, it's you. You wake up and you got a mission. You need something to bang on, someone to fight every day to keep you from thinking about the inadequacies within yourself and your own life. And that shit is on you. Anyway, set kind of firm limits. Say, for example, you must be here on time to keep your job. I'm sorry for all your mishaps, but work comes first. Yeah, it's that kind of shit where like, say somebody like that that's showing up to work late, if you were to be like, hey man, you got to stop coming in late, it's starting to mess up, it's affecting my job now, they will turn it into like, oh, I can't believe you would try to undermine me and my job. I mean, I told you traffic was bad and I was sick and my dog was late and my kid had homework and you still would do this. What kind of workplace is it? Like,
right, and then,
that kind of person.
And then they wonder why people like them are, why jobs start like policies where they do occurrences and all that. They're like, nah, we ain't gonna argue with you. We're just gonna give you an occurrence and get your ass out of here. Like, we ain't got time for that.
Yep. I mean, everybody knows these people. We've all had these run-ins. All right, back to the big list. All right. But energy vampires. Whew, Lord. How many of us have them? 8, empaths become replenished in nature. So the other day, I was feeling kind of like just weird, like not, I wouldn't say down, but just drained. I was tired, but not tired on some like, oh, I just need to go to sleep, or I, you know, some, it was just tired like I just need to be somewhere peaceful for a second. So I went to this restaurant and I ate outside. It was one of the days we didn't do lunch. I think I even sent you a, did I send you a picture from outside? Anyway, but I ate outside, which I never fucking do because bugs and shit be outside. And then I got food, right? They gonna want my shit anyway, man. I had a couple of drinks, I listened to some music, I read some comic books, I ate outside, it was nice and kind of sunny but not too hot. The breeze was blowing, and like as soon as I got up, I just felt so much more recharged. Like, it's something I need to do more often. Cause I go out and do shit by myself out of, like, you know, the store or something like that. But I very rarely go do something where I'm not doing shit. And I've done this a few times this year. Like, also, I did it, that place I keep trying to take you back to, that breakfast place, that's, it's really just okay, but I want you to experience it.
Okay.
Anyway, I sat outside when I went there, you know, same thing, headphones, doing a little light reading, you know, eating my food, chilling, and both times, like, completely refreshed afterwards. So I think it's some, I think they're onto something. I need to, harness this a little bit better.
Yeah, just because of you and your, the type of personality that you have, I could see you doing that more frequently, just kind of going off and being to yourself. Cause like I said, and even with me, it's not that I'm a quote unquote distraction, but I know that sometimes, you just need that time where there's nobody around you.
Yeah, definitely. It's different. It's a different vibe when it's myself. Like, if I go walking by myself and stuff, that's better for me than, you know, not that there's anything wrong with walking with somebody else, but I get, being around another person is just my natural inclination to think about them and how everything I'm doing may or may not affect them. And, you know, and that's part of the weird thing about with the empathy and being an empath. You are always constantly thinking about other people. Sometimes, many times to your detriment. Cause they ain't thinking shit about you and ain't nothing wrong and they're fine. But you know, I do this all the time. Hey, you okay? All right. You still straight? All right. Cool. All right. I'm gonna go to the other room. You know, like I just, but like if I feel like I'm sensing anything, I just want to double check, you know, I want to make sure that I wasn't the kind of person that walked by somebody in distress or somebody in need or somebody that had something they need to get off their chest. And I just let it sit until they go, well, Rod, he's what an asshole. He seen me in here feeling terrible and didn't say shit, you know?
Mm-hmm, yeah. And like I said, with me, it's a little different. Like I said, I'm more laid back, but yeah, like I like to run by myself. Like that's really, really peaceful because it's almost like you plug in your headphones and you can almost, I kind of run walk, but you can almost like zone everything out and just hear the beat and you can just go on about your way. And I'm to the point where sometimes headphones is an invitation for some people. You go, hey, I got these headphones in for a reason, but people want to stop and talk with you. And I never realized how annoying that was until I started till you got me like the wireless headphones. So a lot of times I constantly keep them plugged in to prevent pointless conversations.
Another one, empaths have highly tuned senses. Empaths nerves can get frayed by noises, smell, or excessive talking. I feel like I definitely picked shit up, but I don't get bothered by this kind of stuff. I know other people do. So nine is probably the one that I'm like, that's not me. Cause I think I pick it up for sure, but I'm not I know people that like a baby's crying in a theater or, you know, just there's a noise in the car saying it drives somebody fucking crazy. I'm not that at all.
Oh, no.
Like I'll hear it and be like, this is fine. And I go to my patient place.
Mm-hmm.
Number 10, empaths have huge hearts but sometimes give too much. Empaths are big-hearted people, try to relieve the pain of others. A homeless person holding a cardboard I'm hungry sign at a busy intersection, a child, a distraught friend. It's natural to want to reach out to these people and ease the pain, but empaths don't stop there. Instead, they take it on. Suddenly they're the one feeling drained, upset when they felt fine before. Obviously I'm not just out here stopping my car and helping motherfuckers on the side of the street like that, but I'm definitely the kind of person that takes on other people's shit. So, you know, even when I do want my friends to be able to come to me with shit, but yeah, we both gonna be in it afterwards.
You
know? Like,
yeah, we gonna be there together.
Like, we both gonna be in it together at the end. Whether I wanna be or not, it's like the shit doesn't leave me. Now I'm thinking about your problems. And you're, you know, you might have moved on. You might have felt like I talked to you and that's all I needed to do and I'm good. And I'm sitting here somewhere like, who is gonna fix this? You know? Anyway, I just thought that was interesting and we don't really, you know, always get to do stuff like that on the show. All right, let's move on. Let's see what else we got here. Guess we do some fucking with black people. All right. We haven't really done that.
Fucked with a lot, but go ahead.
What we do that was fucking with black people today?
Oh, the beginning of the show. I just felt fucked with.
Oh, I hear you. I mean, I guess I could skip it.
I mean, we don't have to because I know the list is long.
Yeah, I don't know how we're going to ever catch up on this list.
I know. Let's go ahead and do it because it was up to me. We never cover it again, so let's do it.
All right, here we go.
We
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe. We find different articles that make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Kanye West is back.
Okay.
He says, he defends his TMZ slavery comments in a New York Times interview.
Okay.
I had the idea of sitting in something for 400 years. I said the idea of sitting in something for 400 years sounds like a choice to me. I never said it's a choice. I never said slavery itself, like being shackled in chains, was a choice. That's why I went from slave to 400 years to mental prison to this and that. If you look at the clip, you see the way my mind works. He continued by stating the whole experience on TMZ was awesome because of the opportunity for growth. I learned so much. I learned about the context of the idea of the word slave. I didn't take it in that context. I think that my personality and energy mirrors Nat Turner, or it had in the past, but that showed me that also that Nat Turner approach would land me in the same place Nat Turner landed, and that I would be legendary but also just a martyr. But I guess we're all martyrs eventually, and we're all guaranteed to die. When asked how he would reframe his original statement, West half ignored the question, instead claimed responsibility for his actions while also defending his original yet still rather unclear point. What I would say is, actually, it's literally like I feel like I'm in court having to justify a robbery that I didn't actually commit. Well, I'm having to somehow reframe something that I never said, he told the Times. I feel stupid to have to say out loud that I know that being put on the boat was, but also I'm not backing down, bro. What I will do is I'll take responsibility for the fact that I allowed my voice to be used back to back in ways that were not protective of it when my voice means too much.
Makes no sense what you just said.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm so confused.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, like, what he meant. Mm-mm. With that whole second part of that quote, just.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
It's like he did want to apologize, but he did want to double down. But then he also, and I do, now I will say this, and maybe this is my impasse speaking, I do understand how he feels that the point he was making was not slavery itself is a choice. I do understand. Like, I know a lot of people will say they don't understand, but I watched the interview in this full context when it happened. I get that. The way his mind was ticking at that moment, he really thought he was saying, like, mental slavery that occurred after physical slavery, and black people just chose that part of it, and we don't have to be stuck in that. But also physical, like, he's saying, like, if he were to say prison or something that unified everybody, that white people, black people, everybody goes through, not just something specific as slavery or the Holocaust. He's basically trying to say, I broke free of the thinking of the way that we are imprisoning ourselves in our minds. The problem was, his thoughts were not that. His thoughts just reinforced a lot of shit that is exactly the prison that mentally that they want a lot of black people in. Like, he did the same mistake, or maybe it was on purpose, but the same thing a lot of black Republican type people do is, they say conservatism is this free thought, but everything else isn't. And they're the only ones that have accomplished free thought and left the plantation and da 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 da. And I can't give him no credit for that shit. You know? Anyway, 0 to 100.
Confused.
Confused is not a number.
75.
There you go. All right. I think I give it 75. That's a pretty good score. I mean, he already said it. I didn't expect him to back down. Mm-mm. So it is him. Permit Patty. Who y'all know from fake calling the police on an 8-year-old girl, according to herself. Her business goes down in flames after calling the cops on an 8-year-old black girl.
Oh.
I love this song. A story about a white woman who called the police on an 8-year-old black girl for illegally selling water without a permit in San Francisco, California, quickly went viral over the weekend, costing the woman, an entrepreneur herself, to lose several business relationships by Monday. Ooh, it works so fast. Don't it work fast? Don't you love when that karma is on your ass? Just karma! Before you can even get out there. Ooh. That is my jam. Black Twitter CSI was like, who are our sponsors? Can you pull me up a list of her sponsors real quick? Let's go ahead and tear her business relationships to the fucking ground. You know what her business was?
Wasn't it selling weed? Not selling weed, but...
selling cannabis to pets.
Oh, I remember you saying that. To pets, dog.
The fucking unmitigated gall of your barely legal ass fresh business. You know what I mean? That's a remix business. That ain't even some, like, are we even sure that's okay yet? Have they even made laws for or against that?
I don't know. Did she have a permit? Or she must not have had one.
Pet pot. You're selling pot to pets. And you're sitting around trying to police a fucking 8-year-old little black girl. Okay. She since said she was only pretending and all this other shit, though. Whatever. It is ironic that Etel, an entrepreneur herself, would call the police on a budding one, but in a city that highly favors entrepreneurship. Since the story has gone viral, some marijuana related businesses have reportedly stopped conducting business with her. The Apothecarium says, like many of you, we are learning about the situation with Treatwell in real time today. We are deeply concerned with what we've learned and have decided to discontinue our relationship with Treatwell. We will be selling our remaining stock at a discount and will donate the profits to support young women entrepreneurs.
Come on.
BPG also will no longer carry Treatwell health product line in our store. Profits from our remaining inventory will be donated to a charity to support young women entrepreneurs. As a result of the news, Inc. published a piece based in the 2016 interview that she did, which paints her as an invalid entrepreneur, Karen. Etel also made several sweeping claims about how well her business was doing and how doctors and nurses are sending us patients, and now I'm starting to educate some of those doctors and nurses, although she had no medical training.
What? You nigga.
Mm-hmm.
You gonna have the nerve to pick up the phone and call on the little baby?
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't think there was any consequences or repercussions. You didn't think nobody was going to investigate you?
She ain't got no training. But the little black girl needed a permit to sell bottled water on the street.
Mm-hmm.
You are selling literal drugs, my man.
And the little girl was raising money to go to Disney World.
Right.
And somebody heard about it, probably through Black Twitter CSI, and bought that baby 4 tickets to Disney World.
Of course they did. Of course they did.
Yeah, Black Twitter CSI donation.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm glad the little girl got to go to Disneyland. She got 4 tickets.
Right. She was, mm-hmm. And when I seen it, I started crying because I was like, oh my God, that little girl was selling water to go Disney World. Are you fucking with this little girl?
Mm-hmm.
She trying to go to the greatest place on earth and you trying to ruin it for her.
Remember when we had that Guess the Race on here where I played the Lemonade, I think it's Country Time Lemonade, literally had a YouTube ad about kids selling lemonade and helping them get permits so they could sell it so they wouldn't be sued and you know harassed.
Mm-hmm.
And all those kids were white.
Come on,
like, this is the fuck I'm talking about. Anyway, I'm glad that it worked out for old girl, but 100.
Mm-hmm.
100. The yeah. Nerve of you.
The yeah. And because you didn't think anybody was going to investigate you and realize that you didn't have your shit together. You could have kept it pushing. It could have kept on selling your dog head, get high treats.
Right.
And nobody would have known.
Mm-hmm. Could have been over here selling that fucking Purina Kush or whatever the fuck it's called. Making money. You fucked up your money, not minding your goddamn business.
And imagine, and I hate if she had employees. That's a wrap for them too. Now they got to go find other jobs.
Right. Who wanna work for that though? A raging white woman assaults a black boy at a pool and then bites the cop who came to arrest her. A racist South Carolina woman accosted black teens at a community pool, slapping one boy with a camera, using racial slurs, and telling the teens they didn't belong. She's now facing assault charges. Name is Stephanie Sebi Strimple. Okay. No relation to Dr. Sebi, I guess. Of course.
Get out now!
For real.
There's three numbers I could dial. 911. Okay?
Yeah, right.
Get out. Little punks. Get that out!
Playing the hits, huh? They love that I could dial 911, don't they?
Right, it's a motherfucking customer service hotline. It's not a customer service hotline.
That must be their favorite Wyclef song. Someone please call 911.
Tell them that there's niggers here. And some other brown people.
So then she's now facing third degree assault and two counts of assault, beating or wounding a police officer while resisting arrest. The latter charges stem from the fact that when authorities came to arrest her for the pool incident, she assaulted two sheriff's detectives. She allegedly pushed one detective into a wall, injuring his knee, and bit a second one on the arm, breaking the skin. She's 38 years old. She told a 15-year-old black teen that he and his friends didn't belong at the pool and had to leave the pool. What does that mean?
Under
why don't I belong?
Authority?
You see all these little white kids in the background in the fucking pool?
Bitch, you probably don't even work there. What are we talking about?
The boy was staying at a friend's house in a planned community and was told he could go swimming at the pool when he encountered her. Yeah, you know what this is? In that community, she feels like that pool is for the kids in that community and they must be white kids. The black kid was visiting his friend. Went to the pool where he's allowed to as a visitor.
Right.
And she decided that no blacks at the pool. Y'all don't belong here. And I decided. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where the property people to be like, ma'am, you can't do this.
All right, where's the lifeguard? 100, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Here's another one. Racial profiling at its finest. A white man uses a SUV to block a black doctor from entering gated community where she lives.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Plot twist. She lives there. A black doctor coming home from a late night shift was greeted by an ugly face of racism after a white man uses SUV to block her from entering the gated community where she has lived for about, how long you think she lived there, Karen?
5 years?
8 years. 8 years. Imagine I live in my fucking community for 8 years and you decide on a random goddamn Wednesday I can't come home because you said you don't work there, you ain't fucking neighborhood security, you just decided as a white man I'm calling your card. There's no way a black woman lives here. Part of the nearly 30-minute exchange was captured on camera. A police report indicates that Nenega Ogocha stated that she was attempting to enter the Buckhead townhome community after just coming off an overnight shift when another property owner stopped her at the gate entrance. She said he parked his car under the gate arm and refused to move forward to let her in despite her repeated requests. He got out the car, threatened to call police on me because I was trespassing. She said the video recording taken at the scene, this is racial profiling at its finest. 11 Alive reached out to Atlanta police about the incident. They said the officers responded to the address of two separate calls related to the dispute. He called the police, so I called the police as well.
Come on, everybody gonna call him.
She told the police he would not let her in due to the fact he didn't believe that she lived there. He accused her of tailgating his car to try to get in. Like, oh, you try to get in without your pass. You just gonna drive on in here. In the video, Gocho can be seen walking up to his SUV upset about the incident. Are you serious? Do you know what you are doing? You are racially profiling. Natisha Lance, who's works for the news station, spoke to Gocho Wednesday about the June 18th incident. She said she was infuriated and recorded the video because she didn't think anyone would believe her if she said someone used a car to block her from getting home.
Right.
Absolutely think it was racially motivated, Gocho explained. When this altercation was going on, what went through my mind was that this guy could do absolutely anything to me, could shoot me dead on the spot because he was trying to protect the neighborhood and property, and people would make up stories later. Girl, you know you right. After police arrived at the scene, the man eventually did move his vehicle. She said the officer spoke with both of them. The man told them that there had been robberies in the area. Isn't there always? Isn't it funny how there's
Love Alive and Well is our campaign to keep you healthy.
Our campaign to keep you healthy.
Isn't it funny that there's always robberies in the area? There's always crime. But you don't stop the gate for the white person. It's always one of us. It's as if we are the crime.
Oh, yeah. Our presence is the crime.
Like, what's the crime, dog? Why? Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
Your black ass. That's the crime.
He said there's robberies in the area. People have been stealing AC units. This black woman, she gonna steal some AC units, y'all? You know how fucking heavy an AC unit is?
Very heavy.
She gonna throw it in the back of the car? They asked the president of the homeowner association whether there's any truth to that. They said they had no knowledge of HVAC robberies, but said regardless, it would not excuse the man's behavior. Exactly. Oh, fake ass Batman. She used her gate code, entry code to open it to demonstrate to the officer she lived there. When the officer arrived, the gentleman proceeded to say, once again, I was trespassing on property, and said, actually sir, I do. I use my gate clicker to click the gate open. And it was at that point where she said, sir, you see, she actually does live here. Agosha said the man told the officer he owned the property. He owned property in the community, but resides in Roswell. He don't even live there.
No, he don't live there.
She continued to say that in the current climate in which two men were allegedly profiled inside of Starbucks, several other examples, people feel emboldened to act upon their biases. Yeah, in this country, well, y'all let this motherfucker get elected. Mm-hmm. I'm sure people do feel a certain way about who belongs to places now. They do whatever they want to do because there are no repercussions, she said. I know that things like this happen all the time, and I'm not going to accept that. I'm not exempt like that, so I'm not surprised. No charges were filed in the incident, but she told 11 Alive she believes the man should face some sort of consequences and now considering taking legal action against him.
Yes, fuck him.
Yep, hope you win. 0 to 100?
100, nigga, you don't live here, bitch. You don't live here.
Yeah,
that's not trying to funny. So you probably couldn't have fucking afford where the fuck she was living.
Mm-hmm. Ridiculous. Mm-hmm. All right, I'll do another one. Pennsylvania mayor urges cops to blast black protesters with water cannon in misspelled racist rant.
Oh shit, not misspelled.
Mm-hmm. Karen Piconi, the mayor of Pittsburgh.
Oh, come on, Karen.
Yep, I wonder what a potato salad tastes like. The mayor of Pittsburgh suburb, nasty. Arnold, shared a viral leaks video on her account that showed black rioters being sprayed with water hoses and a photo of teenage civil rights demonstrators being hosed by firefighters 55 years ago in Birmingham, Alabama. Yeah, fire. Keep in mind for the next story, firefighters, right? Mm-hmm. Firefighters, an arm of the state, violence against black uprising. Mm-hmm. Facebook post was made in response to ongoing protests of the police shooting the 17-year-old Antoine Rose Jr., who was killed June 19th by police officer Michael Rossfield while fleeing the traffic stop. Yep, shot him in the back and killed the unarmed kid. I'm posting this so that authorities everywhere sees this. bring the hoses. They don't care about jobs for PGH. None of them work now. That's how they can do this at 7 a.m. Very sad. Sounds almost like a Trump tweet, don't it? Almost verbatim. If I told you Trump said that, how many people would be like, yep, that was him? She called on law enforcement to blast protesters with water cannon, misspelling cannon. She told the TV station she had no comment when she got caught, but then said to about herself, the mayor didn't post those. Did you just speak in third person about your fucking self? Slightly more than 25% of their 5,000 residents are black. 25, wow, that's actually a lot. And other city officials were shocked by the mayor's call for state sanctioned violence against civil rights protesters. Yeah. 0 to 100.
Did they refuse? Like, they was like, nah, we ain't doing that?
I mean, I don't know if they did it or not. I mean, they clearly didn't do it, but I mean, 100, right? Mm-hmm. Now let's go to the next story. Oakland residents called the cops on a uniformed black firefighter conducting yard inspections.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out!
How the fuck? Call the fire department to get the niggers. Oh my god, that nigger has on a fire department suit. Get him. How can both things exist in the same place?
They can.
How do you hate us that bad?
Oh, they want to eradicate us. I tell people that. You know, people actually need to pay attention because, truth be told, they just want brown people's rights stripped. You know,
he's inspecting your home.
They don't give a fuck.
Your home is less safe because you call the police on a man doing his job to protect your house from burning the fuck up.
They rather burn down. Some white people, so they rather die before they allow a black person to help assist them.
Did you think he was the trickiest nigger of all time? This nigger's got he's clever. I'll give him that. He is clever. Stole a firefighter uniform, a hose, and a truck. I don't know what he was planning on doing. Going around the neighborhood inspecting houses, but that nigger's up to something. Call the police. He doesn't belong here. 911.
What happened when they showed up? It was like, he's doing his job.
I like to report a costume nigger on the premises.
And no, it's not a Halloween joke.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's stripping or what, but you need to get out here. Okay?
Quick!
Because clearly this guy's packing some hoes, if you know what I mean. All right, let me go to the next section.
Bonus.
Give me a second, guys.
Shit, it feels like the bonus round. I'm racism.
Right? That's so, like, you have one woman that's like, fire people are the only people that can protect us from the angry black riders. We need to get the motherfucking fire department and fuck these black people up. Meanwhile, across the country, there's a black man trying to do his job as a fire person, and she's out here like, can the cops come get this nigga? Okay, I'd rather my house burn up, please.
And that's what you're saying.
Kevin Moore was carrying a radio and a clipboard as he conducted yearly vegetation inspections when a neighbor called police to report him as suspicious. His colleague Megan Bryan was also serving May 16 when she got a call from the 911 dispatcher asking where the firefighters were doing the checks, and she knew why the caller was alarmed, which angered her.
Right.
I knew that he was the one on that street, Bryan said, pointing out that white firefighters were never reported as suspicious. I wonder why, Karen. What do you think the difference is between this firefighter who has been called, the white people are calling saying it's suspicious that he is out here in my backyard, and the white people that are firefighters that had no one called? What do you think the difference is?
He's a docket.
Okay. It's obvious he's doing an inspection, said Vince Crudell of the Oakland Fire Department. Kevin's wearing his blue wool firefighter pants. He's got a radio and a department jacket and a shirt on. Probably hot as hell, too.
You know he's sweating?
Right. Another resident emailed home security footage earlier that day to a community liaison officer, who then forwarded the footage to the fire department official who oversees inspections. Someone's in my backyard. There's a nigga. He had a fire hose and a and a hat and a helmet, like everything. He was wrong. He was, two Dalmatians was with him. I think he was breaking in. Oh man, if I was him and I drove the truck, boy, you know how slow I would be if I got a call from this house. Oh, we're gonna take this scenic route. Let it burn.
Can we go faster than? No, we cannot.
Oh my god. Oh, if this motherfucker. Oh, my dog is trapped inside. It'd be the house from This Is Us, as far as I was concerned. Your ass would be motherfucking in there about to die. I go to turn on the siren, it'll sound like this.
Wait a minute, what is this, man? What is it, Kane, G?
Yeah, Kane, what's up, G?
Yo, man, me and Ice Cube got this movie episode in effect, you with it?
Yeah, man, yo, Chuck, man, check this out, man. Kane and Ice Cube on the phone, they want to go to movies, man. You with it, man? Come on, get your ass out the shower, let's go, man.
Burn, Hollywood, burn, I smell a ride going on. First the guilty, now they're gone. Yeah, I'll check out a movie,
but it'll take a black one to move me.
Get me the hell away from this TV.
Think I won't be doing 3 miles an hour down the street. Kevin, why? When you gonna turn on the siren? Nigga, this what we listening to today.
All the news and views are beneath me. So
you said it's the Johnson house, right? The Johnson house? With the footage?
Mm-hmm. Hear about it. Shots ringing out. About gang putting each other's head out. So I'd rather kick some slang out. All right, fellas, let's go.
Let it burn.
Y'all want something to eat?
Yeah. Right. Kevin, seriously, you got it. This is unprofessional. You have to stop. Turn that music down.
Hang out.
I'll turn it down, okay? Just long enough to do this. Let me get a number two.
Y'all want something? It's on me.
We can go inside if y'all want. Okay? I know y'all got special orders. We got the lights on. I know. It's a shame, ain't it? Get the fuck out of my face.
Everybody moved at the drive-thru. That's right. They did, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, they can actually get back in front of us.
Come on, if they won't do, they have to move.
Man, I'm okay with them getting back in front of us. I don't want anybody not to get served today.
Make them be like, I want a cheeseburger, no cheese. Fuck the orders all up. I want hand-cut French fries. I want potato tots. They were like, we ain't got potato tots. I'll wait for you to go to the Harris Teeter across the street and fry them.
Oh wait, that's actually the wrong song. I don't know why I can't find the song I was looking for. Ah, I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, y'all know it. I was gonna play that song. Fire.
Yes, that's how Earth, Wind, and Fire
got me yearning, burning.
I think
yearning.
That's Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I forget who made it. That's how the fuck it was gonna sound.
Oh, somebody said Ohio Players.
Yeah, Ohio Players. Yeah, that's how the fuck. I didn't see it on my own Spotify, but nigga, that's what the fuck it'll sound like when I roll down the street and your shit smoking in the background. I will arrive on the scene, jamming, looking completely moisturized,
dancing and shit.
Mm-hmm. Like y'all got to be, man. So fucking yeah, I'll roll up like this to the scene. Oh, you sure took your sweet time getting here.
Somebody got an emergency.
Yeah, y'all need some help. Hold on. Let me finish this Popeyes real quick. Sir, is that Taco Bell in your car? Oh, yeah, we made two stops on the way over here. I want to watch your house burn on a full stomach, you racist motherfuckers. Ridiculous.
Come on.
Racism is so stupid.
Somebody said they got a good one. They say play some Usher, Let It Burn.
Right.
Gotta let it burn.
Gotta let it burn.
Yes.
Oh my god. The roof
is on fire. You don't need no water. Let the motherfucker burn.
Burn, racist nigga. Burn, racist.
Come on.
Think I'm gonna party on your house, you racist son of a bitch, man. Oakland firefighter. It's Oakland too. Like, it's niggas out there. What you even surprised about?
They trying to push them all out the area.
The resident pointed to Moore's athletic shoes as evidence of an imposter. Can you imagine? One supposed to wear galoshes?
They need to move around. They not actually putting out a fire, bitch.
Also, they wear sneakers all the time. They don't all have fireman boots.
No, they don't.
I think it's one of them dress codes like they do at the club. People that had Tim's on it would be like, he was walking around in some athletic boots, if you know what I mean.
I mean, bitch, it's probably over 100 degrees out there, and he's in this hot ass shit. He got a radio that you keep hearing chirping.
Right. Kind of fucking, just racist.
Because they probably communicate with each other on that bitch.
Right.
You're a terrible thief with that loud ass communicator you got.
By the way, Moore said he had knocked on the door and announced himself as a firefighter before stepping into a yard with no hat, no gate, nothing, and noted possible vegetation hazards in his paperwork. He turned around to find a resident recording video of him as he finished up. He kind of startled me. He says, well, what are you doing here? I said, we're here doing our annual vegetation inspection. Then he asked for ID. I say, no problem. Takes a picture of my ID and says, I need to get a different one. I've had that ID for years. It's kind of dark, and I'm more of a dark-skinned black guy, but you can still see me. Moore told the suspicious resident to look across the street at the big red fire engine parked across the street, and the resident eventually stopped questioning him about his identity, started making excuses for his vegetation problems. Well, you know, it used to be a lot easier to plant these tomatoes when we had you guys, you know, doing your thing for us, that for free, you know. So it's just been very hard to get out here and prop everything up, you know, to put them on stakes and stuff when we don't have the extra help, if you know what I'm saying, in the backyard that we used to have. Anyway, you have a good one. Good luck with the fires. Brian said she will pair up with Moore during future yard inspections because she's worried about his safety.
Right. Somebody come up with a gun and shoot him.
She said it shouldn't be a black person's responsibility to soothe the fears of racist white people. It's our work to do with other white people to check our implicit biases and racism. It's not fair to him. It's actually not safe for him to be going into these backyards due to the socio-political climate. They got a woke-ass fire department. I do like that. Anyway, 0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
That's definitely 100, guys. That's ridiculous.
100. Like, that fire gonna be on 100 degrees. You waiting on my black ass.
Mm-hmm. I'll let your motherfucking house be ashes by the time you show up.
They were like, woo, am I too late? Yeah. Woo, it didn't burn down, did it? Woo!
Sir, why didn't you show up in your fire truck? You actually drove to my house in a car. Oh, I'm just here though. I'm just here as a civilian.
Right, they'd be like, what happened to the water? Oh, I had to take the water to put the hose out because the hose was kind of smoking.
I gotta go back for the hose. I can't believe I drove 30 minutes across town. And I forgot to. Oh, man.
Oh, damn.
Well, I will be right back.
Right.
Oh, man.
Damn bikinis. It's going to be awesome, y'all.
Anybody got a water hose? Maybe I can use that to help. Oh, no. Nobody's got a water. Oh, man. Oh, well.
Y'all going to miss the wet t-shirt contest.
I guess I'll just sit out here by this unused fire hydrant. Listen, eat my wings and listen to my music.
The way you sway. Really wrecks my nerves, and I'm so excited, child.
Excuse me, y'all can get out my face, y'all. Y'all interrupting my music, and I can't see the fire from here. Excuse me.
Come on.
Excuse me. Thank you. Pass that cage of sparkle.
Let me know that
you're gonna get your wish.
I know.
Ma'am, can you stop screaming for your pets trapped inside? I can't hear the Ohio players.
You're fucking up a vibe.
Okay, you're fucking up a vibe. I can't hear the Ohio players over this. Hey, that's what's happening to y'all. That's what's happening to y'all right now. Y'all burning, yearning, burning. Probably yearning for some water. But you're not, are you? You're not getting all right, let's move on. I guess we can do some guest erase before we get out of here. Let me see here. Oh, did we do Guest Race yesterday? I think we did. You know what? Let's do something different. Let's do let's do Guest Race. That's more fun. Let's do Guest Race. Let's do some, have some fun.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
Ba-dum-bum.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, the chat room, and Karen to guess the race. And everyone playing this race is... Let's see what's going on. How about this one? A New Jersey couple celebrates their 50th wedding anniversary at Burger King.
Burger King?
Mm-hmm.
Is that where y'all met or some shit?
Home of the Whopper.
The only thing I eat from there, and that's rarely.
Have it your way.
Mm-hmm.
I got a chicken sandwich from that other day.
Was it good?
It was all right. It was a spicy chicken sandwich.
Mm.
It's not as good as the king of the spicy chicken sandwiches, and we all know who that is. Wendy's.
Mm-hmm.
Followed closely by... now, it's kind of close, but I would probably go Chick-fil-A. I'm sorry, my gay friends. And maybe Jack in the Box for second, but I normally just only go to... Wendy's for that spicy chicken. It's so good.
Yeah. Ain't Burger King the home of the chicken fries?
Yeah, and the cheese, the mac and cheese fry, all that nasty shit.
They making shit up.
New Jersey couple celebrates 50th wedding anniversary at Burger King. This happened in Matawan, New Jersey. They was out here in these streets celebrating with the king. You gotta know how to treat them. You know, that's what I always say.
Apparently so.
She can never say you didn't know how to treat her. It's a decade-long tradition, and they capped it off with their 50th wedding anniversary. They got married June 22nd, 1968, and said it all began after they were running late for a show on their first wedding anniversary and stopped at the restaurant for a quick bite. Thus, the 49-year-old ritual was born.
Living in 49 years, wow. Y'all must really like Burger King.
And not because it was planned, but because they were running late to a show. They stopped at Burger King. It was like, we're going to stop here every year now. The couple was welcomed by cheerful family members during this year's celebration. The local Burger King in Matawan. They have two children and six grandchildren, consisted of quadruplets and twins.
Good God.
Their daughter, Tracy Gorelzinko, said the wedding anniversary at the fast food train had overlapped with other milestones in the past, including her high school graduation. Can you imagine? What y'all doing for graduation? Going to Burger King. Burger King? Why? It's my parents' wedding anniversary. And fucking Burger King?
Right? I mean, not the Chinese buffet, not Golden Corral, you know, somewhat.
No way this shit was cute back then. While most of my friends dined at fine restaurants with their family, I kept it a secret from the other kids. We ate at Burger King for my graduation.
I know you did.
Mm-hmm. Amidst their golden anniversary celebration, the couple also offered advice for maintaining a healthy marriage for 5 decades, which they did not quote. Let's see if it's in the article. What the fuck? They do have a video. But now the video doesn't want to play. This is all horrible. This is all ended terribly. Guess the race of these people, Karen.
Oh, this is 100% white.
Karen's going to go with white. All right. Let me ask the chat room what they believe. This adorable couple. What their race is. Extra mayo. Put some Swiss cheese on that Whopper. White. White. White people. Swiss. Shit. White. Even got a special Golden Crispy Chicken anniversary song from Mary J. Blige. Black. Was it a new chicken wrap? Extra mayo, sapiens, Wonder Bread. Sticking to those old white traditions like Burger King and lynching.
Aww.
High ass life expectancy and disposable income make for boring golden anniversary celebration. White. Caucasian white. It's fries and onion rings tonight. White. Yeah, girl, get you that extra cheese, okay? The correct answer is white. Somebody did say black though. Minerva at the last second ruined her chances and said,
and one more other person said black.
Return of the mac and cheese black. So someone said, didn't John Edwards and his wife do the same thing? That cheating ass son of a bitch, who knows what he did for his wife. Wasn't his wife like some type of billionaire heiress and shit till he fucked that up? Oh no, that nigga ain't talking about no let's go to Burger King. Girl, men are trash. Even presidential candidates sometimes.
I'm sorry, you better not take me no Burger King.
For an anniversary?
I don't mind Burger King, but not for no anniversary.
I'll take you to Arby's. Like a real woman, because you love Arby's, remember? Remember when she told y'all she loved Arby's on this very program? I love Arby's. We never go. You know how many times I offer to take her to Arby's, y'all? Sometimes I offer her like at least once a month. I say, baby, you want to go to Arby's real quick? No. And she sounds disgusted. Why? Because fucking Arby's. She lied to y'all.
We got the meats.
The way she lied. The same way she lied to start this program.
We got gyros.
Talking about I'll be walking in there. You watching this shit again? She lies all the time. And y'all let her do it because she called y'all baby. Every sentence.
That's how I feel. I feel like I'm being judged.
Feelings and facts. Stay woke. Trying to help y'all. A man was arrested for taking pictures under a woman's skirt in Mansfield.
What?
That's probably illegal.
Some places not. Yeah, we learned in some places it is not.
A man was arrested for taking pictures of a woman's skirt after he warned her that someone was taking pictures of her skirt.
Oh. Somebody.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves, just like look out. Here comes the Spider-Man.
Somebody take a picture of your skirt, ma'am. That's how that went.
Then his flash went off.
I know. What is happening here?
It's me.
Yes.
The picture is coming from inside the pants.
Yeah, right.
What? They responded to a Walmart. The woman told police she was shopping. She was approached by the suspect who told her that his wife saw another man taking pictures of her skirt while she wasn't looking. The suspect then told the woman that he was going to get his wife, but he never returned. The woman then told Walmart staff, who then reviewed surveillance video. It was determined that the man who had warned the woman was actually the suspect in the incident. His foolproof plan. The surveillance video showed the man appearing to photograph the woman up her skirt. Detectives also recognized suspect in the video from another case involving the same man who was later identified as Timothy McCullough. Was previously arrested 2 weeks ago for attempted kidnapping.
What?
He jumped out of the bushes at a 15-year-old girl, and it was believed he was trying to abduct her.
Oh, he's doing a textbook, ain't he? Jump out of the bush.
What do you think he was going to do with that little girl?
Take pictures of her skirt, apparently.
Okay. All right. Well, you have a much different mind than I do. McCullough was arrested Friday for invasive video recording. His bond is set at $15,000. He's also a registered sex offender.
Oh!
Stemming from a 2006 sexual assault on a 12-year-old girl when he was 18 years old in Arkansas. But Karen thinks he was just going to take some pictures of the 15-year-old. Guess the race of Timothy McCullough.
Oh, why? I was just joking. Why?
Let me check the chat room. Caucasian and bold. Nasty ass old white man. Lock his ass up and throw away the key, white. Still out in them streets, white. Picture of privilege, white. Why his white ass not in jail, white. Kodak black, just kidding, he white. Whitechester the molester, make America nasty again, white.
Aww.
if Wesley Pipes don't take that slogan and for his porn comeback. He's not the man I thought he was. Also sent in footage about a fireman inspected the yard white. And white man on his white man. He free, he white. The correct answer is, and everybody guessed the same thing for this one, you're all wrong. He's black. Black is the ace of spades.
Wow.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Black.
Racism went against me.
Mm-hmm. He got you.
Yeah, he did.
Got all y'all, too. Everybody was convinced that was a white man.
Right?
He was probably trying to look at some asses. Because he's an ass man. Because he's black. Alright, last one. Let's do the
him and Stephen A. Smith apparently.
I'm a bottom feeder.
Mm-hmm. Ain't what no, can ain't I no say? Wrong with booties.
You don't wanna have a problem with your taint.
Mm-mm.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right, double the points, double the racism, and a bonus round of guess the race. So far, everybody is 1-1 just about, and Minerva's 0-2, okay? Let's see if they make it up in the bonus round. Alright. A man, 20, sprinkles cocaine over a Nashville police officer's head to destroy the evidence.
What?
I have heard of sprinkles of crack on a suspect. Never heard of sprinkle some crack on the cops. That's a new one. A Nashville man has been arrested after he sprinkled cocaine over the head of a police officer in an attempt to dispose of the evidence. Antonio Freeman, one of these related to Aaron Rand.
I hope not.
Was stopped on a downtown Nashville street on Tuesday after officers say they spotted him rolling a marijuana joint. According to the affidavit, when they approached, the 20-year-old attempted to hide the blunt by putting the papers in the marijuana in his left pocket. Then bizarrely, in front of all three officers, he removed a clear bag of cocaine from the same pocket, crushed the bag in his hand, and sprinkled the drug over the head of Officer Ryan Caulfield and into the air.
Oh, you get a little crack, you get a little crack, you get a little crack too.
A down south cocaine dealer trying to get away from the police. We've all seen this before. Freeman was arrested at the scene charged with drug offenses. They salvaged around 2.5 grams of cocaine found a set of scales in his pocket. Shit. And a pill bottle with marijuana residue near his genitals.
What? What was he doing? Smoking off his dick?
There's no shame in my gun. There's no shame in my brain. I found new propane.
Yep, ain't no shame in his game.
Apparently it ain't.
He was arrested at the scene and charged with drug offenses. He's currently being held on $5,000 bond on charges of possession with a Schedule 4 drug, unlawful use of drug paraphernalia, tampering with evidence. He's doing court next month. Guess the race of Antonio Freeman.
Antonio is black.
Let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Pour some no sugar on me white, sprinkle me baby E40 black, this nigga hustling backwards, the 21 Savage black, he threw cocaine in the air like LeBron throwing chalk black.
Aww.
Sprinkle me man. E40 made me do it white. Freeman is no longer free man black. DJ just trying to make that money for the rent black.
Aww.
Black. Okay, let us know. Black. Superfly music must be black. The correct answer is, and you know what? You all got it. Black. And wait, one person said white, right? Yeah. A white Antonio Freeman. How'd you miss that?
There's a white Freeman.
A white Antonio Freeman at that. Like, what the fuck, man? You must have, that, like, you missed the free square and bingo with that shit. How did you possibly blow that?
The free square.
Damn, Antonio Freeman fucking up. All right, sword ratchet this time. Even Sean King shaking his head at the idea of a white Antonio Freeman.
Oh,
that is too far-fetched. Okay. All right, sword time. New York Police Department, Port Richmond man attacked a neighbor with a sword, previously arrested for a separate attack.
Oh.
Staten Island, New York, a Port Richmond man was arrested Sunday morning accused with attacking his neighbor with a sword. Michael Codd, 63, approached 51-year-old Nicholas Avenue, his neighbor, who was busy with yard work around 11:22 a.m. with the weapon drawn and cut his left hand. Next time I'm gonna kill you, he said.
Oh, okay.
The victim of the alleged attack was transported to Richmond University Medical Center in West Brighton, where he was treated for his injuries. This wasn't Codd's first time being accused in a neighborly attack. January 7, 2017, Codd tackled a different neighbor following a dispute about his property lines.
Okay.
He was found guilty of attempted assault on December 22nd in relation to that incident. According to court records, Codd was issued a year-long conditional discharge and an order of protection was issued for the victim in that incident. Codd's attorney in that incident, Jan Katznelson, said he was unaware of his client's latest arrest and declined further comment. Police charged Codd with assault, menacing, and harassment. The police spokesman said on Sunday's incident, he'd not been yet arraigned Sunday night. All right, guys, we'll be back probably tomorrow, depending on how I feel, but the goal is to be back and finish off the week. Maybe do some white people news and stuff like that. Some fun stuff.
Yes.
All right, until tomorrow, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.